today, will Trump's Titanic tariff plan hit an iceberg? And who goes down with the ship? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. President Donald Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs are now in place, creating self-inflicted choppy waters as RMS Trump sails on through a fog of confusion, dealing a thunderous blow to the world's economy as he pushes forward to drastically reorder global trade. Trump argues that the taxes will boost US prosperity and revive domestic manufacturing, but his approach has drawn criticism from Wall Street, economists, and some in Trump's own party who have questioned the administration's methodology and warned of an economic fallout that could include higher consumer prices and slower growth, if not a recession. He's long argued for tariffs as a solution for his trade grievances, and this plan will, quote, reassert US power, revive domestic manufacturing, and extract geopolitical concessions. He signed an executive order raising reciprocal tariffs on China to 84%, up from the 34% announced on April the 2nd. And with 20% in existing duties already in place, the total tariff on Chinese goods is now 104%. Along with import taxes on roughly 60 trading partners that run trade surpluses with the US. That comes after the 10% baseline tariff for most US trading partners took effect last Saturday. Asian countries are bearing the brunt of the measures, with Cambodia and Vietnam facing 49 and 46% charges respectively. And imports from the EU will be taxed at 20%. The tariffs are on, and the money is pouring in at a level that we've never seen before, and it's going to be great for us. It's going to be great for other countries. We've been ripped off and abused by countries for many years, Trump said on Tuesday at the White House. Trade advisor Peter Navarro urged the president to impose either a 25% across-the-board tax on imports, or so-called reciprocal tariffs, based on trade deficits, according to recent reports. The latter was incorporated in Trump's proposal announced last week on top of the baseline duty of 10%. Thus, after weeks of deliberation inside the Trump team over his flagship policy, the plan that ultimately emerged actually was closest to the position of Navarro, the president's most hawkish advisor on trade. Since Trump's announcement, the administration has offered mixed messages on the path forward. Some have said the tariffs will unlock talks that see other countries lowering barriers on US exports and perhaps resulting in Trump reducing his rates as well. But the White House trade advisor Navarro repeatedly pushed back on the notion Trump is merely using tariffs as a negotiating tool. Taken together, the trade measures that Trump has announced so far will raise US import taxes to their highest levels in more than a century. Actually, in a Financial Times op-ed on Monday, Navarro said Trump wants more than just lower duties for US exports. To those world leaders who, after decades of cheating, are suddenly offering to lower tariffs, know this, that's just the beginning, he wrote. Still, there could be an opening for Trump to use the tariffs as leverage to strike deals and drop certain rates down to the baseline 10%, which is widely seen as the lowest he's likely to go. Bessent said on Fox Business on Monday, it's my hope that through good negotiations, all we will see is levels coming down. In the hours before implementation at 12.01 a.m. Wednesday in Washington, the White House insisted the duties were indeed coming, squelching market speculation of any last-minute reprieve. The moves raised tariffs to their highest level in more than a century and risk a full-blown trade war if other nations retaliate with levies on US imports. A series of Wall Street executives criticized the plan this week, including JP Morgan Chase Co. Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon, who in his annual shareholder letter on Monday called for a quick resolution to trade policy uncertainty and warned against a potential disastrous fragmentation of America's long-term economic alliances. Also expressing concerns in a litany of social media posts was Bill Ackman, the founder of Pershing Square Capital Management, and a Trump supporter. He said later he was supportive of the tariff strategy, but called for a pause before the reciprocal duties took effect. While Trump's aides have offered a chorus of support for the tariffs, some tensions appear among his team. Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who advised Trump, called Navarro a moron in a social media post after Navarro called him a car assembler rather than a car manufacturer. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt dismissed the clash, saying, "Boys will be boys." Anyway, major US stock indices closed sharply lower on Tuesday, with the S&P 500 closing below 5,000 points for the first time in nearly a year, and futures tied to those benchmark indices slipped in Asian trading as well. The VIX remains elevated, up 128% from just a week ago, signaling considerable uncertainty across the markets. Asian stocks tumbled on Wednesday, with Japan's Nikkei 225 leading losses with a 3% drop after rebounding in the previous session. The broader topics index also fell more than 2%. South Korea's KOSPI declined 1% on Wednesday, down 20% from its recent record high that was hit in July 2024, and with the KOSPI now entering bear market territory despite announcements of government support for the local manufacturing industry there. Australia's ASX 200 fell 1.2%, while the Australian VIX rose over 5% on the day. And by the way, it's up 66% from a week ago. The Aussie was hovering around 60 US cents and 47 UK pence as the little battler took some of the pressure off the local economy, as it's designed to do. Which, by the way, prompts a question as to why markets have now gone all in with at least 4 rate cuts or more expected from the RBA. Remember, the market is not the economy, and the Reserve Bank will be more focused on growth, employment, and inflation rather than the ASX. Sure, rates will get cut in due course, but at a slower pace than the markets are betting. Hong Kong's Hang Seng slipped more than 2%, with losses in technology and automobile stocks. The blue-chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300, though, was largely muted, while the Shanghai Composite ticked down just a little. A day earlier, China said that it would fight to the end and implement countermeasures if the US moved ahead with the new tariff threats. The tit-for-tat tariff action between the world's two largest economies stoked fears of a deeper slowdown in global trade. However, Chinese shares were largely unchanged a day after several Chinese state-owned funds pledged to boost equity investments to stabilize markets rattled by US tariff tensions. China's central bank said on Tuesday that it supported state-owned central high-end investment in boosting its holding of index funds and will offer re-lending support if needed to help stabilize markets. So far, China hasn't announced any retaliatory action. That's in contrast with February and March, when China announced retaliation just minutes after earlier rounds of US tariffs went into effect. The China tariffs now include the previously 20% levies tied to fentanyl trafficking, a 34% reciprocal tariff derived from a calculation based on the bilateral trade balance, and an additional 50% duty that Trump announced after Beijing said it would respond by taxing US exports to China. The president welcomed appeals from US allies who want him to lower their rates, saying on Tuesday that teams from Japan and South Korea were en route to hammer out agreements. "We're going very well in making. I call them tailored deals, not off the rack," Trump said. "It's been amazing what's happened. Sometimes you have to mix it up just a little bit." China has been defiant in the face of Trump's tariffs, declaring plans to fight to the end, and the escalation in tensions makes imminent call between Trump and the Chinese premier less likely. And the latest comments raise the risk of a prolonged trade war between the world's two largest economies. Actually, Xi's number two said his country has ample policy tools to fully offset any negative external shocks in the wake of Trump's tariffs. Other economic powers are striking back as well. In Canada, a 25% counter tariff to the auto tariff Trump imposed on his northern neighbor last week took effect a minute after midnight. And in Europe, both France and Germany are pushing on for a tougher response. Affected nations were rushing to win better terms and weighing their responses ahead of the April 9 deadline, while grappling with a process that many described as chaotic and opaque. A top Vietnamese official visited Washington for last-minute meetings, seeking to blunt one of the highest tariff rates applied on the US partner, and the nation has been engaging in urgent diplomacy, and its representatives convey to Trump administration officials that it's been working to address a trade imbalance. Actually, Trump said on Tuesday that he spoke with the South Korean interim leader, Hak Duck-soo, about their tremendous and unsustainable surplus, tariffs, shipbuilding, and large-scale purchases of US liquefied natural gas. And he also discussed their joint venture in an Alaskan pipeline and payment for the big-time military protection we provide to South Korea. US President described the discussion as a great call and posted on social media that things are looking good. South Korea said it was seeking to cut a big trade deal with Washington, and its top commerce officials from both sides will handle detailed negotiations. Trump and the Japanese Prime Minister held a call on Monday to set up talks with the Japanese leader, urging the president to rethink his approach. And EU officials are working on next steps after the US president rejected a proposal to drop tariffs on bilateral trade in industrial goods, saying on Monday that it was not enough to reset the trading relationship. Long-promised tariffs on pharmaceutical drugs will be announced very shortly, he told Republicans in Washington on Tuesday, and other threatened sectorial tariffs include lumber and semiconductor chips. And Trump is set to further escalate his trade war with China in the coming months, with the White House announcing late on Tuesday a plan to increase planned tariffs even further on small parcels from mainland China and Hong Kong that had previously been exempt from taxes. So all of this, the president and his administration have repeatedly promised, will lead to a future boom, both economically for the US and politically for his party. We're going to win the midterm elections, and we're going to have a thundering landslide, Trump told Republican lawmakers and donors on Tuesday. I really believe that. The truth is, the economic seas have gotten very stormy, and there are indeed icebergs out there. But as to who will get through safely and who will go down with the ship, well, it's too hard to call. It's worth saying that gold remains a relative safe haven, sitting just over $3,000 an ounce. But commodities are down, with the world trade oil at $58.19 and Brent at $61.44, and Bitcoin was last down to $77,764. And actually, as I discussed last week, much of the pain will be borne in the US as globalization, which benefited some, but not all, unravels. Beyond that, new trade patterns will emerge, but meantime, markets will remain tossed about by the currents and tides. So batten down the hatches. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.